There's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the
sing it once more together. Just invite his presence.
It's Jesus, oh Jesus, Jesus. Yes, there's just something about that name. He's Master, Savior.
About the name of Jesus. It's good to be in church to celebrate him. God bless you. Good to have you all here. This is 311 in your handbook. Everybody happy tonight? Amen. God bless you.
There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon their glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forever. Everybody will be happy over there, and everybody will be happy, they will be happy over there. Yes, we will shout, we'll sing God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers will be singing round the throne in that land where no one ever knows the care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy. Saved of earth shall soon their glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy. They will.
Why don't you turn and greet your neighbor?
Saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. Oh, I'm gonna praise his name forever as I look up on his face. Everybody will be happy. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise tonight. Praise the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm feeling pretty happy tonight. Amen. Can you imagine what it'll be like over there? If we can be happy like this in bodies that get old and sick and weary and gray hair and all kinds of problems and sorrows, what will it be like over there in a body that doesn't know about time, doesn't know about age, doesn't know about heartache or pain or suffering? You talk about being happy. John got so happy, he said, everything in heaven, everything under the heavens, everything in earth, everything below the seas heard him. He was happy because he saw his name there. Amen. Amen. God bless you tonight. We have something to be happy about. Amen. Brother Bram said we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. So, amen. Good to have Brother Kenny Capps with us tonight. He's got several brothers from Ghana and Ivory Coast and Rwanda. I'll maybe have you introduce those in a minute, brother. I'll have you pray over the prayer request just a moment if you don't mind. But I've got a testimony we want to share. Sister Patty Hansel wanted to share a praise report for baby Emmett that we've been praying for. They had a family reunion over the weekend. The baby was there and is doing wonderful. The doctors had said he could be deaf, blind, or not developed properly, but he's 9 months old and was jabbering and playing patty cake like any nine-month-old, so just as healthy as can be. So praise the Lord. And texted Brother Danny Steeman earlier, and he said the hurricane is bypassing them, a little bit north of them, so praise the Lord for that. But want to remember those that are in the path of the hurricane, and want to remember several prayer requests tonight. Brother Layton not feeling well, want to remember him in prayer, and then also Sister Patty Ard, extremely high blood pressure and very weak, want to remember her in prayer. And then Brother Jeremy Bird said, surgery for Sister Becky's dad went well. Please pray for a speedy recovery. Thank you and God bless you. And then I also want to remember Brother Trevor. He'll be traveling back from Norway tomorrow night. So I want to remember him in prayer for traveling mercies. And also Sister Christie's cousin, Nicole Janice, started chemo for breast cancer yesterday. And she's just 45 years old and has a young son. So I want to remember that situation in prayer, that the Lord will just move on the scene there. How many of you have unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. Oh, the Lord sees each one. Brother Kenny, would you come tonight and just lead us in a word of prayer and introduce these brothers to us? Good to have you with us this evening.
Bless you, brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. I like to see a church that praises God. You know, the prophet did say this is the quietest world we'll ever live in. Said if you go down there, he said there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And if you go up there, it's going to be never-ending shouting and praising God. So I think we don't want to be too quiet here either, do we? Amen. It's good to be with you tonight. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll introduce the brothers to you. Heavenly Father, Lord, once again, Lord, we come, we approach the throne of grace. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for giving us traveling mercies, Lord, as we've traveled with these brothers. Lord, we just pray that you would continue to be with them, Lord, as they travel throughout the United States and wherever they may go. And God, we pray that you would bless this church. Lord, we've seen the blessings already. We've seen how you've poured yourself out upon this church. Lord, we know we're living in the last age. Lord, this is the age where God's going to open up the windows of heaven and pour out everything upon his bride. There's no need of holding anything back. There will be no more ages. So we're thankful to be a part of that bride of Jesus Christ in this age. And we're thankful, Father, that you've already blessed your people here in Jeffersonville or New Albany, down in North Carolina. Just you're blessing your people all over the world. And we thank you and we praise your name for it. Lord, we come to you tonight. You've heard the request that was made known. Lord, I may not know all about them, but you know all about them tonight. Lord, we commit it all to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, may the Holy Ghost go and arrest those that are, the rest of the devil on those and the demons on those that are sick and afflicted tonight. Lord, may you have your way. May you raise them up for the glory of God. May there be testimonies coming forth of the power and the healing power of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you tonight. We want to be found praising your name, lifting up the name of Jesus. Father, it's the name of Jesus that has lifted us time and time again. And Lord, we want to be found lifting up the name of Jesus tonight. Lord, we commit it all to you tonight in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We've just come out of a convention in our church there in Gastonia, North Carolina. We've had probably 900, 1,000 people come, and the Lord blessed us mightily. Probably had 40 brothers from overseas, and so they've gone in different directions after the convention, so we're glad to have a few of them with us tonight, and I'll just have them stand. First of all, I'll have Brother God's Will, and he is from Ghana, West Africa. And then we have Brother Chris, and I can't think say his last name. It's about as long as this platform. Brother Christopher is from Rwanda. And then we have, stand up so I can see who I'm talking. Oh, there we go. Brother Stephen Kubina. Yeah, and he is from the country of Ghana, yes. And then we have Brother Tao, and he is from the Ivory Coast. So we're glad to have these brothers. They've been a blessing to us down in the church. And I know they're proud and excited to be here. God bless you tonight.
God bless you. Good to have all of you, all of our visitors with us. At this time, we have a special from Brother Arnie and Sister Alice.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's a real honor to share a little message and song to one of the best groups of people on the face of the earth. Amen. Let me just say real quickly, I believe all the songs that the Lord has given us, I believe that we should be able to allow the lyrics to become reality to us. Instead of just parroting songs, I believe we should have a heartfelt reality when we sing. For instance, when we sing Amazing Grace, we should actually be realizing and understanding how amazing that grace is. I mean, it's amazing, right? It's astounding that he picked a crazy person like myself up and made him somebody. And we sang about being happy a little while ago, and then I felt happy. I mean, we experience the songs rather than just saying them, and when we sing, it gets sweeter as the days go by. I believe that's exactly the way it should be. And if we sing every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before, I believe we should experience that. And years ago, there was a group called Chicago, some decades ago, and they sang a song, and I borrowed some words from them, changed the tune a little bit, and I sing it to the Lord sometimes. Sometimes I sing it to Alice. But it says this: I love you more today than yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. And I think we should be able to say that to him, don't you? And mean it. We love him more today than we did yesterday, but not as much as tomorrow. And the little song that we're going to share with you, we've sang it before, but it's the longer I serve him, the sweeter he goes, the sweeter he grows. I wouldn't be able to sing this if I wasn't experiencing it. And by his grace, I believe we're all experiencing that tonight. Amen.
Since I started for the kingdom, since my life in controls, since I gave my heart, the longer I serve him,
A reality in all of our lives. Amen. God bless you, Brother Bird. Appreciate that. Amen. This time we have a special from Brother Ben Wright and his wife, Sister Crystal.
Amen. Thankful for that song, and I'm thankful that, you know, the Lord, even though there's times we have our happy times and our rejoicing times, and sometimes we get down, but He's still there to give us strength. Amen. Well, it's not hard to believe. The sun doesn't shine and the mountaintop is just just a memory. There's no sign to be seen, and I don't feel a thing. To the word of God alone I must cling, and I need strength for the day when troubles come my way, and I just don't understand what it means. That's when nothing else will do. Faith alone see me through, and believing becomes my victory. Oh, it's not hard to believe. Things are going well and skies are sunny. When you feel we're making progress, doing good, living in
special singing this evening. God bless you. If the brothers would come at this time.
Thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. Although I can't repay, Lord, from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you.
thank. If you're thankful, let's stand and thank Him. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for all the grace that you have given us. And though I can't pay from my heart, I would like to say that I thank you.
We say thank you, Jesus, Lord, for all the grace you have given.
Is that what you came to do, to give Him thanks? Amen. God bless you richly tonight. Good to have all of our visitors with us and all the home folks as well. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And verse 14 to begin with. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?"
Amen.
And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. And they said unto him, "Behold now, there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord hath taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley." And he said, "Ye shall not send." When they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, "Send." They sent therefore 50 men, and they sought 3 days, but found him not. When they came again to him, for he tarried at Jericho, he said unto them, "Did I not say unto you, go not?" Let's just bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we approach your throne tonight, I ask that you just be with us. Lord, be with each person that's here in divine presence. Lord, we ask that you would just come and do something supernatural in our midst tonight. Lord, if there's any sick in our midst, may you touch them and heal them, Father. Lord, if there's any that are weary and tired and depressed, Lord, may you just encourage them tonight. Lord, if there's situations, Lord, so many we know that are beyond our control, Lord, may you come on the scene. Lord, and be the, Lord, the comforter that you are. Be the healer that you are. Lord, we recognize you, that you're still the same Jehovah Jireh that you were when Abraham needed a ram, Lord. And no doubt there are many needs represented here tonight, but Lord, you're still Jehovah Jireh that's a provider of the needs of your people. Lord, we just ask that you'd come on the scene, Lord. Anoint me, Lord. Help me to get myself out of the way so that you could use the gift that you placed in my life, Lord. Anoint the hearers, Lord, that they would be able to hear and to receive. Lord, we recognize that the word is anointed, so when I go to read the quotes or the scriptures, we don't have to worry about that portion. We know that's anointed, but anoint us to receive it, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. Help us just to enter into a closer relationship with you, a closer walk with you, a closer desire to serve you, we pray. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. I want to look at this thought tonight of looking in the wrong dimension. And we found here in the scriptures, as Elijah and Elisha crossing over Jordan here. And you notice when we read the scripture, we'll just maybe go back through some of these verses that we read before the prayer. When we read the scripture and we find that Elisha comes back and now he's got the mantle that fell off of Elijah. Now he's got that on him. He's wearing this mantle and he smites the water. And he didn't just say, "Where is Elijah?" but he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Because he recognized that it wasn't Elijah that parted the waters. It was not Elijah that had healed the little widow woman's baby. It was not Elijah that had provided the meal. But it was the God of Elijah that had used a man, that had used a vessel, that had come. You know, Brother Branham tells us, and we find out through history, God always uses men. I know people don't like that, but God picked that, not me. Brother Branham said God could have used the moon or the stars or the sun to preach, but that he picked men. He picked human instrumentality. And so Elisha recognizes now that the man is gone, but the anointing that was on the man is not gone. He recognizes that the man is gone, but the God of the man is not gone. And so he cries out and he says, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And he finds out that even though Elijah had taken a step into another dimension, yet the God of Elijah had not left him comfortless. That the God of Elijah was still able to perform the same thing that he did through Elijah. Now this man comes along and smites the waters, and God did the same thing coming back across Jordan that he did going over Jordan. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And the waters parted hither and thither, and he goes over. Now, the sons of the prophets come to him. They'd seen this from, they didn't go with him all the way to Jordan, but they had watched from afar at Jericho and they saw this take place. And they recognize, as they see Elisha coming back across the waters, they recognize that the spirit of Elijah is resting on Elisha, because Elisha couldn't have parted the waters on his own, but the spirit of God that was on Elijah is now resting on Elijah. And they come to him and they have 50 of their servants with them. And they want to go and send out a search party and try to find Elijah. And they said, "Oh my, maybe the Spirit of the Lord picked him up and cast him over here on a mountain." Or they had all kinds of man-made ideas. You know, maybe we'll build a plane and go find him. Maybe we'll do this. Maybe we'll do that. And they had all these ideas. And Elisha says, "Don't send. Don't waste your time." But instead of listening to Elisha, they continually pressed him. "But we think it's going to be this way, and we think it's going to be that way, and we have all these ideas, and brother so-and-so said this, and brother so-and-so that." And he was encouraging them, just stick with the word of Elijah. Don't worry. Don't go and try to find Elijah. Just stay with the word of Elijah. But they weren't satisfied with that. So they press him and they press him and they go and they look for him and they find him not. And he said, "Didn't I tell you not to go?" You notice he tarried there at Jericho. He didn't go on a search party, but he recognized that Elijah had gone on, but the God of Elijah was still on the scene. The problem was Elijah wasn't dead. Elijah he wasn't just in a grave somewhere. He was in a different dimension. The problem was they were looking for him in the wrong dimension. Many times we do that. We'll look into it a little further, but let me read you this quote from The Uncertain Sound. See what Brother Branham types this to of the mantle of Elijah and Elisha. The Uncertain Sound, 1962. He said, "When Elijah, the old prophet, represented Christ, Elisha, the young prophet, followed him to Jordan. When he come back, he had a double portion, and the church followed Christ to Calvary, and the mantle of Christ fell down with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, "These things that I do, shall you do also, even greater than this shall you do, more because I go to my Father." Amen. He said, where is the God of Jesus Christ? Where is the God that made this promise in the Bible? We need more Elishas. You notice Elisha didn't put the emphasis on himself, but many times we try to figure it out. Well, we think that this one has the anointing, and you know, there's been all kinds of groups rise up with different ideas overseas and right here in America and different places. Everybody they want to be a seventh. They want to either try to raise Brother Branham up to the place of Jesus Christ so they can be a seventh church age messenger, or they want to be an eighth church age messenger, or they want to be something. But I'm not interested in where is this one and where is that one, but where is the God of Elijah? Where is the God that made the promises of the Bible? He said, we need more Elishas. We need more Elishas. Oh my, what is it? A double portion falling back on the church. Didn't say it'd fall on Nathan Bryant. Didn't say it'd fall on this brother or that brother. Said it would fall back on the bride, on the church of Jesus Christ. That it's a many-membered body. That the same God that's working tonight, we feel his presence here in New Albany, Indiana. He's not limited to New Albany. He's not limited to the four walls of Church of the Open Door. But it's a many-membered body. And we see that he's working in Ghana, and he's working in Rwanda, and he's working in North Carolina and Finland and Norway and all over the world. The same God. Don't get so caught up in a personality or a movement or a person or some spiritual idol that you have. But the God of Elijah is still moving around the world. Amen, brother. Amen. Jesus speaking in Mark, he says, as touching the dead that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses how in the bush God spoke unto him saying, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Amen. Many times we think, well, you know, so-and-so's gone on now. And we go and we visit their tombs, and we go and we look there at the plot of ground that they've been placed in. And if we're not careful, denominational, traditional ideas, we think that they're still down there. But I want to say tonight, you're looking in the wrong dimension. Amen. We had a prophet of God go beyond the curtain of time, and he said, they're not dead, but he said, every once in a while, God lets me go by the curtain, beyond the curtain, and see them over there. Lets me go past the curtain and recognize that they're just alive as we are. They're just in another dimension. He says, and show us the Father, and it suffices. That's 1950. You know, all the time there's something going on earth, there's something going on in heaven. Now the problem is, like those men, the 50, that wanted to go and look for Elijah, many times we're so earthbound that we keep worrying about what's going on down here on earth, and we're constantly looking for something here on earth. But all the time, in another dimension, there's something going on in heaven. At the same time, there's something going on in earth. He says, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, 1961. He says, sometimes we watch things going on here on earth, but there's something going on in heaven. At the same time, all the same time, we might not be able to see it, but it's going on anyhow. You say, well, I can't see it, Brother Nathan. That doesn't mean that it's not going on. I can't see air, but I believe that I'm breathing it. Amen, I'm breathing it whether I can see it or not. So we believe that there's something. What is it? We feel the presence of it, something that's tangible, that even though we may not see it, that faith being the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, there's something about faith that anchors down on the inside of us, just like it did Abraham, that we can look beyond the temporary. That we can look beyond the circumstance and say, even though down here on earth it may look like this, this, and this right now, even though my circumstance may look like this, this, and this, as we looked at Sunday morning about Job, down on earth it looked like his circumstances were pretty bad, but over in heaven in another dimension, there was a conversation that was being had about Job, and God was saying, there's nobody like him. There's none like him. Oh, I wish we could just tune our ears sometime. And instead of paying attention to what everybody says about us, about what this church says and this individual says and that family member says and what this one posted on Facebook and Twitter, that we could tune our ears and hear what is God saying about us. We have a little preview, Brother Kenny. We can look into the Word and see what his thoughts are about us. His thoughts, he said, I called you, I redeemed you, I chose you, I elected you, I predestinated you, I saved you, I filled you. And he has all kinds of good things to say about us. But the problem that we get into many times is we get earthbound and we get to looking at what everybody else is saying about it. But we're looking in the wrong dimension. 2 Kings chapter 6 verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Now here Elisha again, he's just trying to do the work of God. He's trying to do what God has called him to do. But yet in the midst of it all, here the Syrian army begins to come in and they begin to surround him because he's been by a little gift of being able to know the secrets of men's hearts. He's been going to the king of Israel and telling him, hey, don't go your normal path today. There's a trap set for you. And so finally the king of Samaria gets so upset. He said, hey, which one of you is telling the things that we're talking about in our meetings? Which one of you is a traitor? And one little man raises up his hand. He said, oh, it's you. He said, no, sir, it's not me. I just wanted permission to say something. He said, it's not that there's any of us that are against you, but he said, Elisha the prophet is telling the king the things that you say in your bedchamber. He said, oh, let's go get him. Let's go find this man that can discern the thoughts and intents of the hearts, because he's going to be a thorn in our flesh. And so they're still thinking on an earthbound mentality, just like Gehazi was. And they go down and they begin to surround the man of God. And Gehazi gets up that morning. He goes out to get him some coffee and he stretches and he looks around. And he says, oh, my circumstance changed during the night. My, you know, like many of us do, oh, the stock market changed, or the boss wrote me a nasty email, or oh, my, I don't feel as good this morning as I did when I went to bed last night, or I got a nasty text from a family member or somebody in another church, and my circumstances are changing. And he begins to look around. He said, we're surrounded. And Elisha said, no, it's them that's surrounded. Oh, it looked like Elisha was surrounded. And Elisha said, no, you're just looking in the wrong dimension, son. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open the eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. You notice there's something about it, that the preaching of the word, it always opens the eyes of some and blinds the eyes of the other. And the same man of God that could open the eyes of Gehazi, his prayer to God, now turns and smites this other group blind. And Brother Branham said it this way. He said it wasn't so much that they were blind. He said their vision may have been 20/20, but they were blinded to the fact that he was a prophet. They came down looking for the prophet, and they said, I didn't see anything. I just saw an old man there with a scruffy beard. He said, come here, I'll show you where he's at. How many sat in the same meetings that Brother Kenny and some of these brothers, Brother Yarbrough and different ones that had the privilege to sit in, and they looked and all they saw was a hillbilly that told hunting stories and fishing stories, but others looked around and saw divine vindication with the perfect interpretation of the word. How could two groups sit and see two different things? Well, just like when Paul was on the road to Damascus there, and he saw something that the rest of them, you know, it didn't bother them, but it was so real to him. When he goes and he tells King Agrippa, we might look at it in a week or two, he said, oh my, King Agrippa, he said, it was shone brighter than the sun, was what the S-O-N was shining on him. The S-O-N was shining brighter than the S-U-N to him. And it was so real to him that it put his eyes out. And others standing there said, I didn't see nothing. You know, you can come to church. Don't just put that back in 1959 or 8033. You can come to church tonight. One group can sit and say, well, they sure was excited tonight, but I didn't see nothing. I didn't feel nothing. What was they so excited about? And sitting there like a bump on a log? Well, it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping us alive. Amen. You ever get a good dose of it, it'll make you happy too. Might make you excited too. You don't have to act like me, but it'll make you act like something. You won't just sit there and say, "Oh man." Recognizing, beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, 1955. Brother Bram said he didn't see that at first. But Elijah probably didn't see it. But he asked for the boy's eyes to see it. But Elisha was conscious that they were there. Now Elisha, it wasn't that he was looking around all the time seeing this. Yet though being a prophet, he could see into that dimension. But it wasn't so much that he was just standing there seeing what was taking place in this other dimension and he could say, "Lord, open his eyes." Brother Bram said, Elisha may not have actually seen it with his own eyes that morning either, but the difference between Gehazi and Elisha was that Elisha was conscious that they were there, whether he could see them or not. Now the word says that the angels of God encamp around them that fear him. So whether you can see them or not, we should be conscious that there's something, a presence that's around us. Amen. Maybe it's hard in your dark trials and your deep valleys to acknowledge that, but when we look around and we see how God has protected us down through our life and how he's brought us from one place to another and given you more revelation and deeper depths and higher heights of the word, and you look back and you say, "Lord, what did I do to deserve this?" Oh, there were some angels encamping around about you. And all the time as we looked at Sunday morning when Joshua the priest was standing there and Satan standing at his right hand to prevent him, but yet the angel of the Lord was standing right there in front of him and the Lord speaking, saying, "I rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke thee." And there was something about it, a presence there. Joshua just standing there in filthy garments. He didn't know what was going on. But in another dimension, there was a spiritual warfare that was taking place on his behalf. How many times when these young people go to school or when you go to your job or when you get in the car and go on a road trip, whether it's with Sapporo or not with Sapporo, we won't go there tonight. Some of you don't know what that means because you aren't here all the time, but Brother Hoover knows what it means. That's all that matters. And you get in the car and you get ready to take a road trip and semi-trucks going this way and that way and cars breaking down, running off the road and people driving with road rage. And you look around and think, "Lord, how did I make it safely thus far?" All day, all night, angels watching over me, my Lord. Something about it, something in a different realm, a spiritual warfare going on. If we could open up our eyes and catch a glimpse of that other dimension tonight, I think we could walk out of here victorious. To recognize that, goodness gracious, if the enemy is after me as hard as he is and he's got demons lined up waiting in line to try to stumble me and trip me and try to cause me to get injured or do something bad or to try to upset me or discourage me or depress me, and yet there's another warfare going on at the same time that God's got his angels encamped around about me. If all that is going on behalf of little old me, then God must have something for me. And he must care for me to be able to do that. You say, "How do we know they're encamped around us, Brother Nathan?" I don't feel them tonight because he said so. Amen. Amen. Elisha was conscious that they were there because God's word said so. Amen. Amen. You know, I'm conscious tonight. Whether we can feel him tangibly or not, I thank God we can tonight. We can feel his presence. But whether we can feel him or not, he's there because he promised that he would be. He said wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he'd be in our midst. So we know that he's here when we come to church. But even when I'm not at church, even when there's not two or three gathered together and I'm in the car by myself or I'm studying by myself, I still know that he's with me because he also said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." So whether I feel him or not, he's there, Brother Kenny. Whether I can see him or not, he's there. Whether I feel like running through a troop and leaping over a wall or whether I don't feel like I can preach my way out of a wet paper bag, he's there anyhow. Amen. He's there because his word said that he would be. Amen. Daniel chapter 6 verse 16. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, "Thy God whom thou servest continually, He will deliver thee. Notice he didn't have to tell Daniel, hey, buddy, you better have a prayer meeting and get prayed up real quick because you're going to need him. But he recognized that Daniel already had a relationship with his maker, that Daniel already had a connection with his maker, that he had already, in fact, this is what had got him in trouble, was praying through three times a day, unashamedly with the windows open, even though there was a law against it. He said, if you want to put me in jail, put me in jail. If you want to put me in the lion's den, put me in the lion's den. But I'm going to serve my God, whether your law says I can or not. You know, sadly, it's getting to that place even in this country. But I'll still serve him and I'll still preach against sin. And if it puts me in jail, then you come and bring me a cake with a file in it, okay? Warn me before I chip my teeth, though, okay? Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. He didn't have to tell Daniel, oh, you better get serious. You better get desperate. You better have an all-night prayer meeting. You're going to need him. Daniel already had him in his corner. He was already right there, present tense with Daniel. And it says in verse 17, and a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Now the king, here the king is, he didn't have to go in the lion's den. They didn't have to put him down there. They didn't roll the stone over him. And he goes back to his nice cushy bed, Brother David. He goes back to his nice cushy palace where he's got men with, you know, big palms waving him and grapes to offer him and musicians to bring to him and a nice big fluffy pillow and a nice big bed. And he goes back and now here he is in this nice fluffy bed with his pillows all around him and anybody to do his bidding and bring him food or bring him wine or bring him whatever he wanted. And he lays back and he passes the night fasting. And he passes the night sleepless because he's worried about what's going on down on earth. And the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. Now, he hasn't gotten any sleep. He's had a fitful night. And all he knows is what his law said and that Daniel's, there's something different about this man. But he's not convinced that God can do it. But Daniel was convinced that God could do it. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, like a lot of people come into church. Oh, victory is mine. Cried with a lamentable voice. He didn't say, praise God, Daniel, I'm bringing you out of there this morning. He said, Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And, you know, in his heart, he's not expecting an answer. Because he's been up all night worrying. And he sees the circumstance and he's looking at the natural. And he's looking at the nature of these animals and that they're hungry and they're ready for a good Daniel snack. And he's looking at all of the laws of physics and the laws of nature and science and gravity and all that. And he's looking at that and he comes lamentable and he comes mourning and he comes sleepless to the den. And he's not really expecting a voice to respond, but then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Amen. He's not sad. Doesn't say anything about him being lamentable. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouth that they have not hurt me. Now, I don't doubt a bit that Daniel, maybe when he first went down there, he thought, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know when, I don't know where. All I know is that you're able. But when he gets down in here and he's down in the lion's den and he begins to see something in a different dimension that he recognizes that he's seen before, and this pillar of fire and angel of the Lord stands between him and the lions, and there's something about lions, they're afraid of fire. And so this pillar of fire comes and stands right between him and the lions, and it shuts their mouth and they sit there quivering in fear all night. But the lions and the king were the only ones that didn't get sleep that night. Because I don't know about you, but there's something about it when you know that the pillar of fire is right there and the angels of God encamped around you. You can lay your head down on the pillow at night and no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the trial, no matter what the sickness, no matter what the doctor said, no matter what the bank account looks like, you can get a good night's sleep. Because you know there's an angel standing between you and the enemy. There's an angel standing between you and the accuser of the brethren. There's something about it. The Holy Spirit there with his covenant before you. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. And Daniel could lay there, say, Lord, this is the best night's sleep that I've got in months. Here I've been every morning getting up and going through, going and praying and believing and trusting and not knowing what this was going to be, not knowing when they were going to come knocking on the door to arrest me. But now that it's all happened, and now that I see your plan, and now that I see your Holy Spirit's here to protect me, Lord, I'm just going to lay down and get a good night's sleep while you've got these lions' mouths shut. See, it depends on which dimension that you're looking in. The Hebrew children, when King Nebuchadnezzar, I was going to read the scripture tonight, but to save time, we'll just reference it. You know the story. When King Nebuchadnezzar, because they wouldn't bow down to the image of Daniel that he had made, Brother Branham said it was Daniel. If you go back in questions and answers, he said, you notice Daniel wasn't on the scene then, but he said in the beginning and ending of the Gentile dispensation, he said, you notice that the Gentile age was issued in with the worship of a man, and no doubt it'll go out with the worship of a man. And here they had set up an image of a holy man for them to worship, but they said, we're not going to bow down and worship any man. Doesn't matter if everybody else does it. Doesn't matter if it's popular. Doesn't matter who says it. We won't worship the image. And so all the other people bowed down, and here these three men standing with their legs locked firm. We won't bow and we won't bend. And here they stand, and he says, you know what? Take these holy rollers and heat the furnace 7 times hotter than it's ever been, and take them and throw them in there, to where the men that were even taking them up to the furnace, the heat was so strong that they began to die to the left and the right. And the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you go back and read the scripture, it said they fell down into the furnace of fire, but it didn't singe their clothes. Didn't do anything, Brother Branham said, but burn the ropes off their hands. Sometimes when you're going right through the midst of the fire, it's just so that God can deliver you from whatever's binding you. And here they go right through the middle of this, and King Nebuchadnezzar begins to look, and God lets him have a little peek into another dimension. And he says, come here. He said, I thought we threw 3 of those holy rollers in that fire. So that's right. There was 3 of them. He said, well, I see 4. And said, the 4th man looks like the Son of God. Brother Hoover said, how did he know that that was the Son of God? Said he must have been listening to a prophet and was able to recognize. Oh my, the Son of God standing there in the flames, you know, and we read that and we think, oh my, how wonderful that would be with my trials and the fires and the flames and the tribulations and the temptations that I go through. How wonderful it would be tonight to open my eyes and look and see the 4th man standing in the fire tonight. I want to remind the devil that he's still standing in the fire with us tonight. That he's still a present tense God. Whether you can see him with your physical eye or not, I'll take him at his word that he won't leave us. Amen. He's still here, just as present tense as he was in the fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He's just as present tense tonight as he was in the lion's den with Daniel. He's just as present tense tonight as he was with Elisha and Gehazi when they were surrounded there. He's just as present tense as when Elisha took Elijah's mantle and said, where is the God of Elijah? He's just as present tense tonight as he was on the sands of Galilee. He's just as present tense tonight as he was in 57 and 65 and whatever year that your family heard about it and came into it. He's still present tense tonight. The problem is many times we're looking in the wrong dimension. We get earthbound and we look at our circumstances and we look at our trials. We look at our pain. We look at our sorrow and we get so earthbound that we only see that dimension. But oh, if we could only look into the other dimension. This evening, world falling apart. World is again falling apart. 1963. Brother Branham said this astronaut the other day flying around over Russia there and said he's seen no God, angels. How ignorant can people be? Again, the rapture, 1965. He said here not long ago when this astronaut went up, he come back and he hadn't seen nothing of God. That even turned ministers around. They thought God lived right up there somewhere, 150 miles high. And here an astronaut gets in a little rocket ship and he goes up and he comes back and he said, I didn't see no God. I didn't see no angels. I didn't see nothing but a bunch of clouds and blue sky and nothing. I didn't see nothing. I saw some stars and saw the Milky Way. I didn't see no heaven. I didn't see no God. The problem was, first of all, they were looking to their denominational traditions. And secondly, they were looking in the wrong dimension. Christ is revealed in his own word, 1965. Brother Bam said, you're going to find out one of these days that when you go to heaven, you don't fly off somewhere else. You're still right here too, just in another dimension faster than this. You say, what are you going to do, Brother Nathan? Are you going to fly away and go live on a cloud somewhere? No, you go do what you want to do. Brother Ram said, we'd have power to speak worlds into existence. If you want to go and you don't want to fellowship with me, you go and you speak yourself a world into existence if you want. But the Bible said the meek shall inherit the earth. So if you want to find me, just look right here, but a dimension faster than what we are right now. Amen. A dimension faster where God and man can come and dwell together, where all the perversion and the filth and things, we're multidimensional beings. We live right now in three dimensions, light, space, and time. But Brother Branham teaches us that science had broke into the fourth dimension, and we might look at that again as well in a few weeks here. But he said that science had broke into the realm and picked up radio and satellite and television and all these wireless frequencies and things that it was there all the time. The science of it was there, but they had to make something to be able to harness the signal, something to be able to tune in to the frequency that was out there. But yet radio waves and TV waves and all those types of waves have been going right through buildings and all that, all down through history. But yet there was something just like a man harnessing electricity. There was something about it. They were able to harness that dimension and be able to broadcast images across. And Brother Branham said that cancer, science had proved, was a fourth dimension cancer. He said, actually, every disease in its germ form is a fourth dimension disease. He said that the visions that he saw was in the fourth dimension. But what it was, there had never been a device that could break in and be tuned to that dimension. But one day, a prophet of God is laying in his bed with his hands clasped behind his head, and God lets him go a little bit beyond, a little bit further, past the fourth dimension. And oh, yes, at one time when he was laying there as a little boy, with his legs almost blown off by a shotgun, he'd got a glimpse of the fifth dimension and seen the regions of the lost. But now God's going to take him a little higher into a dimension beyond the curtain of time. But it had always been there. But what it was, there just hadn't been somebody that had got tuned into the frequency. And now God tunes him into this frequency where he sees his loved ones and he sees converts come running to him saying, our precious brother, what is it? We're multidimensional beings, but these eyes can only see those three dimensions without something else to harness it and take us into that. You say, well, I can see television. No, you see a box that harnesses the radio waves and the television waves, and it harnesses that dimension, but they're coming right through this room right now. Nobody can see them because we don't have a device that's harnessing those. But one day, whether you're old or young or middle age, if you're ready to go, God's going to say, come up a little higher, and you're just going to take a step into another body. And that body's not going to be contained just to three dimensions of light, space, and time, but you're going to be able to look around and see, hey, there comes mommy. And there comes daddy. And there comes this one that went on beyond the curtain of time. What is it? God is calling for his bride. Come up a little higher. Don't just get caught down here in these earthly dimensions. He says again, fellowship by redemption, 1955. He said, I cannot believe that there's a house way out yonder, but I believe that that house that God was speaking of is right present here now. That's the place where the mortal beings, when we cease to be mortal here, we step into immortality yonder into a place, and I believe that's where Jesus is today. The resurrected Lord Jesus, not out yonder somewhere a million miles away, but right here, present with us now. But many times, Satan, with his traditional push that he pulls us into, we get down to pray. Now I lay me down to sleep, and we begin to go through the motions, and we begin to cry out to God. And if we're not careful, we'll let Satan convince us, oh, he's a million miles away somewhere. He's too far. He can't hear you, or he's not close enough to do anything about it. But a prophet of God comes and tells us he's not a million miles away on a cloud somewhere. He's right here, just in a dimension faster. A present tense God. What was his message to do? To raise Christ up out of history. I want to say tonight, I know it scares people when we get to talk about the word like this, but Paul said that this is just dead letter without the Spirit to quicken it. There's people that have the same Bible, the same message books, the same message tapes that you do sitting on their shelves, and it has become nothing but dead letter to them. And maybe they have it memorized better than you do, but it sits there as dead letter. But there's something about it that the Word is eternal, and when we can begin to turn into those pages and it begins to come off of the page, and it's not just a letter form anymore, but it becomes a living reality, we begin to recognize this is not just a historical book. Because if it's a historical book, it's no better than your English history or your American history or whatever it be. If this is just a book of history of what God could do once upon a time, then it does us no good. But it's not just a book of history to point back to what he did once upon a time, but it's a book that Paul said was given to us for an example of what God can do for us present tense now. That he is Jesus Christ the same today. I know we say that all the time. I know Brother Branham taught that all the time. I know that his business cards and his letterheads and his prayer cards and everything else had that on it. But yet still, after all these years, it seems like, Brother Kenny, we can't fully grasp it. And we look back and think, oh my, if only I lived in the days of Elijah. If only I lived in the days of Noah. If only I lived in the days of Moses or Paul or Brother Branham. I'm living in the days of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Lord. Amen. He's just as powerful tonight. Don't let Satan place him back in history when God sent a prophet to bring him up out of history. To prove that he's still God tonight. Don't place him in what God did for you last year. That, well, God helped me. He delivered me last year. He healed me last year. All my last week's service was sure good. But no, don't leave him back at last Sunday. Don't leave him back at last Wednesday night. Don't leave him back where he healed you the last time or delivered you the last time or provided for you the last time. He's still the same provider tonight. Three kinds of believers, 1963. He says, don't care how many science and how many astronauts they signed up and everything else and how many millions miles they can see. I don't care nothing about that. There is a heaven and there is a literal Jesus Christ there that will come in a body form to receive his church to himself. No matter how old the story seems, it's still the truth. God said so. That's what believers believe. Amen. I believe it tonight. And you say, oh, Brother Nathan, we know that. We know that. That, you know, it's not some dimension or not something a million miles away in this dimension, but it's something else in another dimension. We know that Brother Branham said that the astronauts didn't see it and how ridiculous that was. But then many times if we're not careful, we begin to look at hell and we make the similar statements that they did. You say, oh my, I went down in Mammoth Cave and I didn't see no hell. Or these men tunneled down to do a big excavation somewhere for coal or something. We didn't see no hell down there. Brother Branham said, questions and answers on Genesis 1953. He said, and then man sitting on a pot of hell hits himself in the chest and defies God's word and says, there's no such a place as hell. I got that down here in a little bit. We're going to get to that. See, you're sitting on a big pot of it every day. And while you're here, you're sitting right on it and hell's just beneath you. You say, what are you talking about, Brother Nathan? You think he's just talking about lava and that men are just going to burn to death and it's going to be a physical thing? No, you're looking in the wrong dimension. You're looking in the wrong dimension. You're not going to find it with a pickaxe and a shovel. But yet he said, there it was. Here he is, a little boy, his legs almost blown off. And he said, a literal burning fire would be many times better than that. He said it was like a nightmare caught between. What was it? Because they had no place to step, he said. Because the believer, when he dies, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have another body not made with hands, eternal in the heaven, waiting that we can step into. Brother Branham called it a theophany body, that those that he saw coming beyond the curtain of time there, they had a place of peace to step. But the sinner, when he dies, he has no eternal body. And so he has no place to step, and he's caught. He can't go back to this body because it's dead. And Brother Branham said that's the reason why the rich young ruler was screaming out, because he had no place to step. Caught in a torment. He said it was like you were just constantly falling. He said there was no mommy there. There was no daddy there. There was no God there. Oh my, that's more than volcanic fire. It's a different dimension. I don't want to go to that regions of the lost. He says in one place, he said for somebody that's seen both, that's been privileged to see both dimensions. He said, one, the worst place that you could ever think of, and to the other, where the word sublime wouldn't even be a word to describe it. No English word to describe it. He said, how could you ever compare the two? Why would you ever choose this when there's the sublime? But he said, but only perfect love will get there. Only perfect love. He said, you'd be out of place there if you didn't have perfect love. You'd be out of place there if you got over there and said, what's brother so-and-so doing here? Bless God, if he's here, I just don't know if I want to be here. You'd be out of place over there. Bless God, how did you let so-and-so in here, Lord? I have a problem with this because he said something about my family. He talked bad about my uncle. He talked bad about my daddy. He said something about my grandma. I don't want to be here if he's not here. Brother Bam said, well, you may have that opportunity. Hearn Baxter said, oh, when I get to heaven, I want to roll up my sleeves and smack old Demas in the face. He said, you really think he'll be there, Hearn? You keep that idea and you might get a chance to. So sad that a man that had that opinion about Demas back in the days of Paul would turn around and do the same thing in this age. But we fail to recognize sometimes the dimensions. That if we could look just a little further and catch a little glimpse of what God is trying to do. Oh my, you would do everything. You'd lay aside everything. You know, we preach and we teach and we believe and we say that, oh my, the Lord's coming anytime. We just believe it. We're looking for it. We're looking for a body change. Could be today. Could be tomorrow. Brother Bram said that within a few minutes, everything that's left could take place. And you say, oh, I'm waiting on it. I'm looking for him today, Brother Kenny. If he's not here today, I'll look for him tomorrow. I wonder if we'd be honest with ourselves. If we'd really do all the things that we do. If we really believe that. But we get complacent and we get stagnant because we're so earthbound. We're just looking in this dimension and all the things it has to offer. And if we're not careful, we get a little comfortable down here. And we try to make our own little millennium with our wealth and our cars and our clothes and our houses and everything just going all right. And sometimes God has to allow a little pressure to come to remind us this isn't our destination. Amen. This body and this life and all the sin and sickness around us, this is not our final destination. What went ye out to see, 1959? He says, many of you remember Mrs. Morris downtown. Brother Ruddle just visited there a while ago. And she's been unconscious for several days. And she's just calling all the time. And when I got in there, she was calling my name. When I went in and said, Billy's a good boy. Said he had a hard time. Said I wanted to see him before I go. And she'd wait just a minute and say, have you ever seen him yet? I want to see Billy. In a few minutes, she spoke to her husband that was gone on, 40, 50 years ago. Talked to him and began to talk to her loved ones. You know what that means. And that it's just near the gate. And isn't that strange? Even blind as she can be, she's in a world of darkness. She's 90 years old, right at 90, about 89 and something. And now yet her eyes are so close to the other side till she can see the objects on the other side and can't see them on this side. Here she is laying on her deathbed, been blind for years. Here she is, 89 or 90 years old, and she's calling, asking, is Brother Bill here yet? I want to talk to him one last time before I go. And here he slips into the room and she's still saying, is Brother Bill here yet? I want to see him. And he's right there in the room, but she can't see him because she's still just completely blind in this body. And there she is laying there on her bed and she begins to talk and greet her husband and greet her loved ones that have gone before. Oh my, I haven't seen you in years. And blind in this dimension and just a breath away. Just a step away in another dimension, a brand new set of eyes that she could see her loved ones in. Fellowship 1955, he says, just as sure as there's a heaven and an earth, Jesus Christ is present now. But what it is, he's in an unseen condition. Many times we fail to recognize his presence. Remember Brother Branham, 1964, there he preaches a sermon, the presence of God unrecognized. And we fail so many times to recognize him. Oh, we might recognize him in church when Brother Furman gets to sing our favorite song, or we have a good special singer and the presence of God comes down, or when the anointing really falls and we're listening to a tape or hearing an anointed minister preach, and maybe we get little glimpses of him and say, oh my, God was sure there tonight. But then we go home on Monday and we go to work and you get up and you go to school on Tuesday, and you go through life and you go through trials, and you don't feel him sitting there present tense when you're writing out those checks to pay the bills. And you don't feel him present tense when that person calls you on the phone and chews you out because you didn't do something the way they believe that you should do it, and because they don't believe just exactly like you do. And many times we fail to recognize him because he's in an unseen condition. But whether we see him or not, he's right there with us. Through the trial, through the temptation, through the work, through the school, through the church service, whatever it would be, he's there, but he's in an unseen condition. He says we can't see him, but there's something about the Christian soul that when man realizes when his presence is there, he's standing in the presence of something that he can't see. We know that there's radio going through here now. There's television going through here now. Oh, I can't pick it up, but it's in another world. And so's the angels of God placed around in this room watching this afternoon. The angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. Jesus is on, all present, all the time, watching over us, and we know that that's to be the truth. So why do we worry? And why do we fear? You know, the disciples got a little worried one time because they was in the boat and they had left him and tried to go across on their own, and the waves begin to get higher and higher, and the waters begin to fill the boat. But then they saw one coming, walking across the water, and immediately they should have known to be able to do the supernatural like that. It had to be him. But they got afraid, you know, like a lot of people do when they come to church. Oh, my, what if it was just emotion? Or what if that was just a mental workup? Or, oh, my, what about that? I've never heard it exactly that way before. And Brother so-and-so taught it this way. And they got scared of the very thing that could help them. And here he comes walking across the water, and he steps his foot into the boat, and he said, "Peace, be still." And the disciples said, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Even nature and the natural course of nature begin to obey him. And yet we claim to have him in our ship, in our boat, in our home, in our car, in our church. And then a little trouble rises and we begin to panic and worry. Don't forget who's in the boat with you. He's present with us tonight. Whatever your trial is, the same God that could calm the winds and the waves back there can calm the winds and the waves in your life tonight. Abraham, 1960 in Yakima, Washington. Brother Branham says, if we could only open our eyes to see this afternoon, sitting around, standing around, moving up and down the aisles, angels of God, the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, moving around through the audience, you'd see there's more with us than there is with them. God, open our eyes. Open our heart. Open every door of our hearts. Amen. If we could only look beyond the natural tonight. Look beyond the tangible. Look beyond the sickness and the old age and the trials and the pain. And look into another dimension where there's a spiritual warfare going on for our safety, for our well-being, for all things to work together for our good. If we can only open our eyes tonight and look around and see there's more with us than is with them. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads tonight. If the musicians would come. Lord Jesus, we hear your word, and we hear the quotes, and we hear the scriptures, and we've heard them over and over and over, Lord, sometimes. And I wonder if it doesn't just become common to us to where we take it for granted. And then when a trial or a tribulation comes, when we're walking through our fiery furnace or our lion's den, many times if we're not careful, we begin to panic like the disciples did. We forget who's in the boat with us, Lord. But Father, as we've read your word tonight, as I've pointed the people back to the quotes and the scriptures, and Lord, we see what your word has promised us. Help us to recognize, Lord, that you're a present tense God. Lord, as I was speaking with the man Sunday morning, he shared the testimony of your protection and mercy to him. How that always when a light would change, right off the light, he would go right away. But one time a few months ago at a stoplight, he hesitated. He didn't know why he did it, but when he took off, a car broadsided him and would have killed him if it hadn't been for just that brief hesitation that he didn't even know why he did it. Couldn't explain it. But Lord, we recognize that it's your protection. Lord, that you love us and you care about us and you promised you'd never leave us or forsake us. Lord, that you care about our well-being, that you want what's best for us. Lord, help us to yield to you, Lord. Help us to be sensitive to your spirit, Lord, where if you tell us to stop, we'd stop. If you tell us to go, we'd go. If you tell us, Lord, to move here or move there or do this, whatever it would be, whatever you're leading us to do, to encourage somebody, to call somebody and let them know we're praying for them, to send somebody a scripture or something encouraging, text them a song or something that, Lord, maybe we know they're going through a trial and could use it. Lord, may you just do the leading and guiding. May we follow you. May we be sensitive to your presence. Oh, Lord Jesus, we love you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Lord, help us to recognize you're with us all through the day, all through the night. You promised you'd never leave us. Whatever the trial, whatever the burden, whatever the temptation, Lord, that you're present with us to help us. You said you'd lead us and guide us. Lord, we're depending on you, Lord. We reach out to you tonight, Lord. We love you. We thank you. Lord, that you've surrounded us by protection, Lord, of the Holy Spirit. Lord, even though we may not be able to look into the dimension and see it, Lord, help us not to be so earthbound that we forget about it. We love you, Lord. We appreciate you, Lord. Where would we be without you, Lord? Lord, if it hadn't been for your grace and mercy dying on a cross to take away our sins, Lord, what pitiful creatures we would be, Lord, without hope, without love. But Lord, you loved us when we were unlovable. You saved us when the rest of the world looked at us and said there was no hope. We were a lost cause. We were unsavable. Yet you and your love reached down your hand to us, Lord. Help us, Lord. If you cared that much about us, help us, Lord, whether somebody agrees with us or not, whether they're nice to us or not, Lord, help us to reach out to them and be a help and an encouragement. Lord, may you just help us to, Lord, lay aside everything as your prophet encouraged us and get that perfect love for one another. To where we lay aside, well, I don't like the way this one does this, and I don't understand why they do that, and I don't believe the way they believe. Lord, help us lay aside all that. Press on to perfect love, we pray. Help us to raise up a banner, raise up a standard in this age of the truth. Help us to stay with it with everything that's within us, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Why don't we sing that together tonight?
My boat of life sails on troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my watching over me when the breeze turns into a gale. I know the master of the wind. I know the maker of the rain. Oh, and I know he can calm your storm. Make your sun shine again. I know the master of the wind. Oh, sometimes we soar like an eagle to the heights. Among the peaks our soul can be found. Then some old unexpected may drive me from the heights. Well, it may bring me low, but it won't bring me down. 'Cause I know the master of the wind. I'm so glad tonight. Oh, I know the maker of the wind.
Let's sing it one more time together. Oh, I know the master of the way. I'm so glad I know the maker of the rain. Oh, let my Jesus calm your storm. Make your sun shine again. I know the master of the way. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Let's sing this together. Oh, you deserve the glory and the honor.
Glad tonight. Why don't we sing that tonight? He has made me glad.
He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. And I will answer
His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. And I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. And I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. We've got the power, it's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power, it's in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. Yes, we've got. It's in the name of the Lord. Yes, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power. It's in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not.
God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. You can be dismissed. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. Yes, we've got the power. It's in the name of we've got the power in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power. It's in the name of Jesus. We've got the power in the name of the Lord. Though Satan rages, we will not be defeated. Yes, we've got.